How much has Jesus loved you? A little kid was asked once. And, you know, little kids, this much. And you know what that means, right? Today, what I'm going to talk about is not just for you. It's for me as well. It is a simple subject, a simple thing to do, and yet sometimes it's the most difficult thing for us to do. Let's ask God's blessing here. Holy Spirit, light the fire in my soul. Fan the flame. Make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been, so light the fire in my heart again. In Christ's name, amen. You'll be my witnesses is the subject, and that comes from a verse in Scripture. However, before we go into that, we need to review in our minds and in our hearts who we're talking about. So, all right. Back one. Okay. Do you recognize that? That's an aerial view of Dunning Park from maybe a helicopter flying about 100 feet above Dunning Park. You can see Dunning Park. Obviously, it's taken during the week because no cars in the parking lot. Now, if we go further out, at about 10,000 feet, if you're going to Metro Airport on the way home from wherever, and you look down, you're having to pass over Redford, and you see Redford, and maybe you can see a little A in that picture. The little A shows us where Dunning Park is. Now we go further out a little bit. In the International Space Station, about 100, 200 miles above planet Earth, and, well, that little A shows Dunning Park, but you really can't tell. You can barely even tell that's Redford. That, of course, is Michigan. A little further out, at the 25,000 miles above the surface of the Earth, where the weather satellites are, that's what Dunning Park looks like. And I can almost kid you, and you can say, oh, yeah, right, I can't see it. A little further out, halfway to the moon, 150,000 miles out in space. And you can't even barely see Michigan, let alone Dunning Park. Now, that's how small do we feel right now in view of this image? Go a little further out. That's the solar system. And you see that the planets all miraculously are all on one plane. All the planets, and it's called the orbital plane. And off the orbital plane is where the comets fly in and out of our solar system. This is about at the edge of our solar system. This is about a little further out from the orbit of a planet that got demoted fairly recently. It used to be a planet Pluto, but now it's something else. But it's still called Pluto, of course. That's 5.5 light hours from the sun. Why do we say light hours? Because when we start talking miles, it's going to be some huge, incomprehensible number. And where's Dunning Park and all that? Where's your seat in Dunning Park and all that? You're not even an ant. Not even an atom. 5.5 light years. All right, we're going to take one more step out into space to the next object in space and look back and see nothing. 6,800 times the distance of the solar system. We see nothing. This is what the solar system would look. I took all the background stars out. What the solar system would look like from our nearest neighbor in the neighborhood of stars. That's Proxima Centauri, 4.5 light years away. Well, so that the slide is not so boring, we're going to take a telescope, 100 times power, crank it up. And wrong one. Back out. You see that little tiny thing there? That was the solar system. How small are you now? I don't think we can see. In this scale, we can't even see Dunning Park with an electron microscope. Let's fly further out. And this is the galaxy. Well, this looks like our galaxy. Of course, we can't take a selfie of our galaxy. Nothing we have has ever gone out that far. So what we do, we look at the next one nearby, and this is the Andromeda Galaxy, and we say, well, we looks kind of like that. And that little square there on the right edge of the galaxy, yeah, I'm looking there, I guess you're looking over here. The little, not square, but rectangle represents the previous slide. Now, how many stars are there in this galaxy, in our galaxy? Guess. Well, actually, they are guessing as well. You don't know, because there's no way we can count them all that accurately. But we say that we estimate there are 200 billion stars in the galaxy. That's in numbers, 200,000 million stars. But the galaxy is not the only thing in the universe. The visible universe is estimated to have 100 billion galaxies. How many stars do it? Simple math. 100 billion times 200 billion comes out of 20 billion trillion stars. Now all those numbers are getting hard to roll off the tongue. That's the number. 100 billion trillion. That's a billion times bigger than our national debt in dollars. Yeah, that's pretty impressive. That's lots of stars. The question comes up, who made it all? Now, don't come with the illogical things, the illogical fantasy that it happened all by accident. That's just way too much going on for it to happen by accident. Of course, that's the subject of a different talk. But it didn't happen by accident. Somebody had got to have made it all. Now, where do we look for, where is it, who made it all? We got to look in the most reliable book in the universe, because we can't look into our scientific research. It doesn't help us there. So we go to the most reliable book in the universe. Unfortunately, this book has gotten a bad rap in our culture today. It is the most reliable book in the universe, written by the eternal God. And it says, in part, I'm going to have to read this one from here. He, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation. For by him, all things were created, all things. Both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And that the words thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities refer to not only human institutions, because all things, that includes in the spiritual realm, all the angels, all the demons, all the powers that we do not see, the powers that we see, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Just take in what's being said here. He is timeless before all things. In him all things hold together. He is the glue that holds the entire universe together. Scripture also says, although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard the equality with God a thing to be grasped. It says that he is equal with God, Jesus Christ, the one who created the universe. He existed in the form of God, but he did not consider equality with God something to be. Hang on so tight that you have no part in it. But emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, and being made in the likeness of man. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Now I want your minds to go back to Jesus on the cross. That was the one on the cross, is, was, and will, and always will be the creator of the universe. And think of the awesomeness of that. Philippians chapter 2 also says, for this reason also God highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Yeshua, Mashiach, Adonai, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's to say every tongue. That's to say those who don't even believe. They are going to be forced, if they don't believe, to say Yeshua, Mashiach, Adonai. Now I trust most of us here are believers. And in his parting words to us, Jesus said this: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem. That is there. In the city. They lived in the city of Jerusalem. In all Judea. That is to say, in all their state or their country, in Samaria, the neighboring country that's not so friendly, and they didn't like each other very much, and to the ends of the earth. Now that is a mandate to us as well, that we be his witnesses in our city and our workplace and our everyday rubbing shoulders with other human beings. And in our Judea, in our country, the United States. In Samaria, that's outside of the United States, in countries that don't even like us. And to the ends of the earth, no place uncovered. This is our mission. We heard from Tom Coombs last week about mission. You know, and I shared with Tom that I was at the church and I was really impressed that they had a sign at the back of the entrance door, so that as you go out, you could see the sign and it says, this is your mission field, you're about to enter it. And I wish we could put something up here, because it is our mission field. The word witness means someone who can tell about something that happened from his own direct knowledge. Now, witness is not very hard. If you saw me doing something crazy right here, man, I don't know what crazy thing I could do, jump up and down, you could say, you know what, last Sunday at church, the guy in front just did something weird, he just jumped up and down and behaved like a monkey. And you saw it, therefore you can witness to it. You don't have to have great theology. Now, why did he do that? What's the psychology about jumping up and down and scratching around like a monkey? No, you don't have to. You just have to say, I saw it by my eyes, and this is what I've seen. I'll share with you my actual experience. So witness is not a difficult thing to do. But the Lord also gave us this command. This word which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. He wants it to be on our hearts. In other words, meditate on it all the time. And you shall teach it diligently to your sons. And talk about it when you sit in your house. And when you walk by the way. When you lie down. And when you rise up, does that leave any of your existence out of it? Your daily life? No. He wants us to have his words in our hearts. He wants us to speak of it all through our lives. And you shall Let me look at it. Bind them as a sign on your hand. The Jews used to put their prayer in the little boxes and they would actually bind it on their hands. And that showed that they were Jews. And they shall be as frontals on your forehead. They used to put the phylacteries, it was called, actually on their forehead, and they did bind it on their forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. What does that mean? Something that our culture says we cannot do. We don't talk about religion and politics around here. Wear your faith on your sleeves is my paraphrase of what God is saying. God was saying, I require of you to wear your faith on your sleeve. That's to say, to display your faith openly and habitually rather than keeping it private. Our faith is not meant to be private. So what does that mean in practice? It means that we, as we go about our daily lives, we live Christianly. Now, what do we say? That's too hard. They may not like me. They may hate my guts. They may hurt me. It might affect my promotion. I don't have the theological knowledge of this stuff. I don't know how to do the apologetic stuff. What if they ask me hard questions? We had the passage read to us of the blind man who was blind from birth. He was healed by Jesus. And then he went to the, I guess he went about his business and he's, hey, people all knew he was blind. He was blind from birth. So the Pharisees asked him, how is it, who is it that healed you? And he just said, well, this guy, you know, he healed me. He put some mud on my eyes and when he came out, I can see. Oh, they went through some theological objections. They went through some legalistic objections. They went through all kinds of objections. They even drag up his parents and said, you know, what's this? And he says, you know, he's blind from birth and he's old enough. Ask him. So he comes up and they ask him. And they say, no, that man is a sinner. How can he do this? That man is not a prophet. He can't do this. What is the response from this man? In John chapter 9, verse 13, one thing I do know, I don't know any of your theological objections. I don't know any of your physical objections. I just know one thing, that though I was blind, now I see. Now that is what witness means. Relating his personal experience, his own personal, direct personal experience. For us today, our witness would be, I was dead in my trespasses and sins, but God made me alive through Jesus Christ's death on the cross. I said it is a hard thing to do. It's an easy thing to do first, because really it's pretty simple. This is what happened to me. I'm letting you know. Hard thing to do because there's the cost involved. But remember, Joshua 1 verse 8, God says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Remember those 200 billion trillion stars? That's who you represent. Who on earth can come up to that? Who on earth can frighten you so much? In this morning's worship, I had mentioned 22 Coptic Christians kneeling down before their executors, ISIS, to be beheaded. And we look at it, and I mean, that really did strike me, that they were witnessing to their God Jesus Christ, because none of them denied him. Now, we are spared some of the really grotesque photos. You can see them if you search through the internet. And heads were actually literally lopped off and put in the backs of the fallen bodies. And I'm just thinking, wow, that's witness. Because they know, they knew the God who made, not necessarily in those terms, but they knew the God who made 20 billion trillion stars. And what can man do to him? No power of man, no scheme of man will ever snatch me from your hands. And then we say, I don't know what to say. You know, I'm not educated in these things. I don't know how to argue about the existence of God. And that guy might have been much more brilliant than I. What am I going to say? How am I going to answer them? And there's encouragement from God's word. It's in Matthew chapter 10. It says, you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. They will hand you over. But when they hand you over, do not worry about what you are to say, for it will be given to you in that hour what you are to say. And this is the most beautiful part of it. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Do you believe that? The one who said that made 20 billion trillion stars by the word of his mouth. Measures the heavens through the breath of his hands. He says, for it's not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. He's calling us to trust him on that. That one day we might be made to pay the ultimate price. And these days it's less inconceivable than it was at one time. But in some other more figurative and more and less literal ways, we might be caused to kneel before executors, to have our heads cut off, just like the Coptic Christians. But God says, I will put the words in your mouth. You don't have to rehearse the words beforehand. Main thing is, be soaked in the word of God. Meditate on his word day and night. Our mandate comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, verses that are quite familiar to many of us, that even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to anyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that's in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. To sanctify is to make holy. And the word holy means set apart. I read it this way as one of the ways of reading this. He is not one of us. He made 20 billion trillion stars. I mean, come on, who can make 10 stars? One? One planet? He made 20 billion trillion stars. Sanctify. Think of that in your heart. And then I am ready always to give a defense, to give an explanation why I'm walking around like a happy guy in the midst of all this trouble. Who asks you to give an account for the hope that's in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. It says that I don't do it in your face. I mean, some people are not ready to accept it. And you're just going to end up with butting heads. And that's not what we want to be doing. But there will be times when you have occasion to meet somebody that's almost hungry. You can sense it. Then he asks you, why do you bow your head every time you eat your meal? What's that all about? And we can say, it is because I want to give thanks to the one who made 20 billion trillion stars, that he made provision for me. Do you want to know about that? And if you do, then you say, I was dead in my trespasses and sins, but he made me alive through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. Now, as a summary to this message, Let us purpose in our hearts. Now, to purpose in your heart is to make a decision beforehand. This is a conscious thing, not a naturally flowing thing. This is a conscious thing. We have to decide in our heart. I pray that God will light the flame in your heart. Purpose in your heart. Consciously decide to know the one who we represent. Find out as much as you can about the one who built 20 billion trillion stars. Have confidence. He is the creator, the king of all kings, and the lord of all lords. He is no one to be trifled with, despite the fact that the world uses his name as a cuss word. He made 20 billion trillion stars, and one day all mouths will be stopped. And it's his mercy that he takes the abuse it takes today. Know the one whom we represent. Live, think, and speak Christianly. Now, this is a challenge. Live, think, and speak Christianly. This is a challenge to me as well. I mean, I can do this sometimes, and then I can be deviated with the problems of the world, and I stop doing it. And then in certain companies, you know, I consistently say, I'm going to give thanks before food. And then sometimes in certain companies, you start feeling, you know, if I do that, they'll think I'm some kind of religious zealot. So I don't want to do it. Think, live, think, and speak Christianly. Wear our faith on our sleeve. We want to be immersed in his word. We want his word to infuse us, not just memorize, but infuse in our heart. Then we will speak, we will think, and we will act Christianly. Bear witness to him and what he has done in our lives. Witness is ultimately very simple. Just testify to what happened to us. I once was dead, now I'm alive. I was once blind, but now I see. It's God's Holy Spirit's work to convict and to convert. This was very... This really lifted the burden from my heart after so many years of being a Christian. I thought it was my duty to go and convert somebody. It was my duty to lead someone to Christ. How do I do that? I got to learn this, the four spiritual laws, this method, that method. And what if I stumble? What if I miss the point? You know what? You bring the word, God does the converting. You don't have to do anything. You just bring the word. You just bear witness that the one who built 20 billion trillion stars went on the cross and gave his life. And God will bring conversion. And we do this in obedience because he told us to do it and for the sake of our fellow humans who desperately need him. He says to us, if you love me, keep my commandments. We sang a song that Lance said was really rousing. And the second verse of the song goes like this. There's a shield in our hand, 20 billion trillion stars behind me. I got a shield. A sword by our side. The Holy Spirit will convert, convict and convert. There's a fire in our spirits that cannot be denied. I hope that the fire has been stoked here. We ask that he would. As the Father has told us, for these you have died, for the nations that gathered before you, and the ears of all men need to hear, and the ears of all men need to hear of the Lamb who was crucified, who descended to hell, yet was raised up to reign at the Father's side. And the angels will cry, Hail the Lamb! Who was slain for the world, rule in power, and the earth will reply, You shall reign as the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. It's a blessed, blessed ministry that we have. A blessed, blessed mission. And really, it is a simple mission. Bear witness to what happened to you, to me. And yet, it is a scary mission because let's not deny it. We are all chickens. But God is not. God is the one who made 20 billion trillion stars. And so if I do what I do Christianly and I lose a customer, oh well, he made 20 billion trillion stars. If I bear witness by the way I speak, says blessing to you rather than have a nice day, and they think that I'm a religious nut, so what? He made 20 billion trillion stars. And I can be encouraged. I can be fired up with that. And ultimately, at the end of all time, which may not be very far from now, he will be with, meet him face to face. But we don't have to see him in our spiritual eyes or our mind's eye. We'll see him physically. And he comes up to us and he puts his arm around us. And boy, I really want to have that. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I look forward to this. And I really pray that you do also. I pray the fires in your heart. I pray that when you stand before him, you can clear with a clear and conscience say, Yahoo, I'm here, Lord. I don't know, it makes me tear up. I hope it does you as well. Thank you for the privilege of speaking. Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, who made all those stars, who holds the universe together by the word of your power, we thank you for your giving us a very easy mission, and yet you know that it's difficult for us, and you give us so many assurances. Lord, may we depart from here with a fire rekindled in our hearts, knowing that we hold the sword and we hold your shield, and that ultimately will stand before you to receive that commendation. Well done, good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of your Lord. We thank you for being with us this morning in your great and mighty and unspeakably wonderful name.